Welcome back to ILTA Voices, your home for all things ILTA.
Welcome, everyone, to today's ILTA podcast entitled Clear as Kind, Providing Actionable Feedback and Setting Up Your Team for Success. I'm your moderator, Hattie Thubad-Wachlis, and I'm the Director of Legal Operations at CBRE. I'm thrilled to be joined by our panelists today. We have Janelle Belling, who's the Director of Legal Project Management at Perkins Coie. We have Amy Monahan, the VP of Client Success and Product Innovation at InfoDash. And we have Nikki Woodfall, who's the Senior eDisclosure eData Manager at Traverse Smith. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining today. All right, we are going to jump right into the hard stuff. Tell us about a time where you delivered feedback and it did not go well. Amy, we will start with you.
Hi, yes, thanks for having me. Glad to be here. This is a really good topic, so I'm happy to participate. And yeah, I have a lot of examples, unfortunately, but the one that sticks out the most was the one that I learned the most from. So that's the one that I wanted to share. So I was a baby people manager. This was like all new to me. And I also had a brand new and a very young team that I was building. And so I didn't know most of my team terribly well at this time. You know, we're still getting to know each other, and we were all just thrown into, you know, the thick of project work. So I had to deliver some pretty critical feedback that wasn't based on anything that I had witnessed or experienced, but it was based on feedback that was coming from other team members as it related to this project that we were working on. And it didn't go well for a few reasons. So first, I actually didn't feel prepared to have this conversation, but I felt pressured because of the tight project deadlines that we were on to have this conversation to try to rectify things that were going on. So I didn't go into this conversation super confident, and that probably came across and was picked up on and I didn't have firsthand experience. So this was all coming, you know, third hand hearsay. I wasn't all that confident going into that conversation. So I didn't have the actual like clarity that this person deserved in getting this critical feedback to them. So that was sort of like ding number one of why this didn't go well. I also did not at the time pick up on this person's really high anxiety levels and sensitivity to criticism. And so in hindsight, had I been able to pick up on that sooner, I would have completely changed how I delivered this feedback and had that conversation, but that didn't happen. So went into this conversation super unprepared, didn't have all my facts together, and also had a person who was extremely sensitive to any type of critical feedback. So it was a pretty tense an uncomfortable conversation for both of us. And we did not resolve anything in that first conversation because it went terrible. Like there were tears, like it just was bad. But we did have a lot of follow-up conversations. You know, I kind of broke my own golden rule of I didn't put myself in their shoes and like, what is the level of clarity and information that I would need in that situation to try to do better. But then also, you know, how would I want that delivered to me? And I also am a person who has, you know, really high anxiety. So like I can easily empathize with that. So I learned a lot from that, that experience. I definitely now focus on being prepared for conversations. If I don't have all the facts, I'm not ready to have the conversation. I don't have the conversation, but also putting myself in their shoes, how would I want to be spoken with in that type of instance? And a lot of times it starts with, why don't you tell me what's going on? How do you think things are going? Where do you think that we have some opportunities to do things different, better, et cetera, as opposed to coming at someone basically accusatory and saying, I'm hearing that this is happening, explain yourself. I mean, that's not what I said, but that was sort of like, you know, the overall tone of the conversation. So it was terrible. I think about it daily, but it was an amazing learning experience. And I will say that me and this person ultimately had a very good supervisory relationship. We worked through a lot of things. I mean, they had the unfortunate experience of being like my first, direct report, part of this growing team. So I think that we definitely were able to learn and grow a lot through that. So I am happy, I guess, in some sense that I went through that, but learn from my mistakes, don't repeat them.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's tough to not just have gone through, but to share it with others. But we appreciate it. Janelle, Nikki, anything you wanted to share about times you delivered feedback and it did not go well?
Nothing well. You'll hear it in some of my responses to some of the other questions, I think, for sure. Because I think it's probably happened to all of us.
We'll kick it to the next question then. So how does one start to approach the feedback question? What are some ways in which you prepare for this feedback question? I know Amy mentioned, getting everything together. If you don't have all the pieces, it's not the time yet. So Janelle, why don't you tell us about ways that you prepare for that conversation?
Well, I 100% agree with Amy from that perspective. I investigate first. I find out as much as I can before I talk to that employee. I don't just take someone's word when they're giving constructive or negative feedback, because I don't have both sides of the story. So I really try to do that. I, like Amy, think about how would I want to receive this? What would I want to know? How would I want somebody to approach me? Kind of to the title of this session, I deliver feedback with as much honesty, kindness, and respect as I possibly can. And if I know that employee well, I'm going to tailor my approach likely to make sure that I'm as relatable as possible to that employee. Amy might have referenced this, but I'm sure it'll come up multiple times, real time, right? I provide things in real time as soon as I possibly can. But one caveat that comes up often is annual coworker feedback that comes in during performance reviews. And I see this happen year after year. 90% of the time, no one ever raised it with that employee. And I do not want my team to have unexpected things come up in that process. So in those instances, I talk to them before the performance review. And then once I know more detail and I've connected with that employee and we know kind of what happened, what resulted, I'll determine whether that feedback should go into that performance review. Sometimes it does need to, and other times I might make the decision that we don't need to put it in the performance review because we're addressing it outside of the performance review. Have your speaking points ready. I'm a big bullet point girl, so I've got to have my bullet points so I can make sure I'm hitting those hard points. But I don't start just like Amy. I start with asking questions of that employee first. And I am a talker, so it's hard for me, but I try to practice active listening, really, to really hear their feedback. Their perspective is so important. I want them to share how did that project or that task go from their perspective before I start diving in and sharing feedback that either I've experienced or that another coworker raised with me. So that perspective too will often tweak and change how I approach when I start sharing that feedback. I try to be open-minded. It almost always there's two sides to the story, and usually it comes with maybe a little bit of a lack of communication is one of the main reasons that things don't go right. And I prepare for the good, bad, and ugly. We're talking a lot about constructive feedback, but I want to touch a little bit on positive feedback, right? There's always something good in what they did, even if there's something bad. They shouldn't be the sum of just what went bad. So I try to pull out what went well at the same time when we're talking about things that maybe is constructive feedback. And then when I give good feedback, I want to know, why do they think it went well? It's not just like, hey, great job. Why did it go well? What did they do specifically that they thought led to that success, right? And I would typically deliver that stuff in a one-on-one or via email or in team meetings. But I think it's really important too, that if you have like a really amazing feedback, if you have tools within your organization, like we have thank you cards and awards of excellence, that you really do focus on recognizing those really good behaviors and recognizing that employee. And then finally, there's the bad and the ugly, right? Like, what went wrong? Really learning what wasn't expected. Why did they think that something went wrong? And I help them, right? They're going to need to respond in some way, right, to that person providing that constructive feedback. I like the employee to take the stab first of like, how would they address the situation? What do they think that they should do? And I am not a micromanager, but this is probably one area where I maybe micromanage a bit, because I've learned over the years that that responding and following up to feedback, it's not only hard for that employee that gets it, it's hard for the person that gave it. I work for a law firm, and they don't like conflicts. Lawyers don't like conflict, which is kind of funny. Even the litigators don't like conflict. And so it's hard. So it's a fine skill to kind of work it in. But I do think that follow-up is so critical, because it helps repair and maintain those stronger relationships with colleagues, and it helps them move forward with it. And then lastly, learn from it all the way. Just like Amy said, whatever is going on, there's always something you can take from it. Like, what would that employee do different the next time? You know, are there things that we need to be building into their personal goals or their development plan to make sure that these things don't happen again? Are there takeaways that other people on my team could benefit from? You know, maybe there's something that happened here and we want to tweak a process because of it. And then frankly, are there takeaways for me? You know, if it's appropriate, if you have that relationship with your employees and you feel like they can be honest with you, and I do feel like my team can be honest with me, what can I do better to provide you feedback? What could I do different? So that's really how I approach it.
Thank you. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I really, really appreciate that you ask questions when you're providing good or bad feedback, because that reflection really gives someone space and time to think about, okay, what did go really well and why did it happen? And the inverse.
It's so easy to focus on the negative.
Yeah.
And I think you have to constantly bring that positive to them to keep them from dragging themselves down into the negative.
Well, and it helps the overall team too, when people reflect on what went well and, you know, how they got to that point. So awesome. Nikki, we'll start with you for the next one. So how do you figure out how to time and space out your feedback? So, you know, not a daily feedback loop, but how do you decide when to raise things?
I think going to Janelle's point in the first point of, you know, good feedback or negative feedback should be, if it's urgent, should be delivered straight away. So especially for some of the team, if there's an email that comes in that congratulates them on what they've done, I will respond back to them directly and CC in my boss and be like, yeah, you need to recognize that this is brilliant. And then we'll bring it up in a meeting to be like, and this person has done this amazing thing. Because actually the celebration bit around some of the feedback is not always focused on. But in terms of generalizing, or I'd say kind of scheduling in the feedback. So on a 4-weekly routine, the way that I have it with the team at the moment for the members that I manage is I will have two sessions a month that is about bi-weekly catch-ups. How are they? And there's actually a 3-point agenda in that as well. How are you? Talk to me about you. Talk to me about your role. Talk to me about things going on. And that's really important because it gives them a space where it's about them specifically, and they can talk about it. And it's also giving the opportunity for them to focus on how they felt around some parts, especially if they bring up positive or negative feedback about others and or things that they may have received. The other two sessions, one of them is actually faced or focused very much on their objectives from their performance review and talking about actually what they've agreed to do during that year to strengthen themselves and enhance their skill set and understanding where they feel that it is and isn't working for them. Or I feel like I'm hitting this objective or I'm getting to this point, or and making sure that they actually have an awareness of what they're aiming for, and then featuring into some of that if there have been points that have been raised through matter work, whether it be chargeable or non-chargeable or otherwise, that we're able to discuss some of the feedback that may have come through in those set sessions. So the final session that we have, and this is something that we are a technical team, and so there are a multitude of skills that we need to have, including, you know, a multitude of soft skills and other administrative parts that come in. And so over the years, I've developed something called a confidence check-in, which is about someone's confidence of doing a task, not their ability to do a task. And it means it's another opportunity that they can talk about how they're feeling with it. But at the same time, where feedback has come in that's associated with it, of, oh, actually, somebody said that you're really good on this part of Excel? Like, did you know that? Or if there's negative, it can be on the basis of, okay, so you've said you feel like this about it. Actually, that's been recognized elsewhere. What can we do to change that? What can we put in place? Something that's tangible. But it means that there's regular conversation going on. There's regular conversation where it's dedicated completely about them. No one else in the room. They feel that they've got the floor. They also feel that they can control the conversation. Because some of the parts with difficult feedback, and I agree with both Janelle and with Amy, that has to be delivered, especially if it's urgent, very quickly. But understanding the facts, understanding the situation, and I mean situation as to who's been present and part of that in particular, and ultimately if there's been any initial wording of it. And sometimes that those sorts of things can come up in structured meetings like this, and that somebody is feeling that they are ready to talk about it. But it has to be private, I think, is the other thing I wanted to flag as well. I think there's a really big issue sometimes about the structure of those meetings, where they can be brought up in a group setting, or it can be fed back in a group setting, which is just not fair, but it also may not land in the correct manner that you mean it to. So having that setting where you can be with that person on a one-on-one means that you can actually get to the crux of it, asking them how they feel about the situation, asking them if they're aware of the situation, and they can open that conversation prior to bringing it into more of a formal / team group setting. And really similar to Janelle, then feeding back and looking at yourself off the back of that as well, both privately and with the team, to see actually what their feedback of your ability around that as well, separate from performance review time.
I love that. And I love the confidence check-in, the having them think through, you know, how do I actually feel about these things? Brilliant, brilliant. A+. Yeah. I've already learned so much.
I'd like to add on to that. So I think a lot of the routines and structures that Nikki was describing that she's put in place, yes, A+. And I think that it's so important as people managers to put in those routines and structures so that people know that they're going to have dedicated spaces to have these types of conversations, both as part of a team and as part of a team discussion, but also privately one-on-one with you as their supervisor. With my team at Perkins, we implemented, we had Monday and Friday huddles, and those were team meetings, and Mondays were for calibration. So that's when we talked about the week ahead, where we might need like all hands on deck, you know, to pull people in because of tight deadlines or whatever it might be, but also just letting others know, you know, things that are going to be going on with them during the week so that we could calibrate and anticipate the needs of everyone on the team. But Fridays were for celebration. So we calibrate on Monday and we celebrate on Friday. And that really was the place where, like, we did amazing this week. Everyone goes through and they had to list at least one thing that they're celebrating, even if it was an abysmal week and everything went wrong, you had to find something to celebrate. So that was one way to surface things that were going well, good feedback that we've received. And then, you know, me as the manager of the team, I was able to then take a lot of those highlights and surface them even higher up. And those are things that may not have ever come to light. So you really do have to find ways to get the positive feedback, bring it to light for people who may not have full transparency into that. And then also in those team conversations, there were some things that would come up that were more appropriate for a one-on-one discussion. So even though I had dedicated one-on-one time with each of my team members, there were things that would come up, particularly in the Monday calibration huddles of like, oh, we need to talk about this offline in a separate setting. Let's make sure that we're addressing this in your one-on-one. So I think establishing, you know, some known and reliable structures for people helps with that constant conversation that we should all be having with our team members, and also helps helps us with highlighting some more celebratory things for positive feedback purposes.
I love that you have time built in for that. That's huge.
And the only thing that I want to add to this, because many of us, myself included, we're not just a supervisor, right? We have our own work to do in our own role. And I think it's just, we must make the time, period. You have to, because your team's continued success is really tied to that honest feedback, right? We need to give them a chance to improve. And so I know sometimes people will drag their feet on it, but you just have to find the time, even when you don't necessarily have it.
Excellent points. So I know we've touched on this a little bit. What do you do when feedback doesn't land? Either you're noticing in the meeting that it's not landing, or you walk away and a week later you're like, oh, this is none of that registered, or it registered, but very poorly.
So I think the biggest thing is first to acknowledge that, like, be open and transparent of, okay, this is not working. This isn't going well for whatever reason. Let's pivot. Let's find a way that we can address this in a more impactful way. Maybe changing, like reframing conversations, starting with more of, like, you know, like we've all talked about, asking the person questions instead of just launching into having a kind of a one-sided conversation. So reframing in that way. But also, you know, if it's not going well, that means there's more to the story that is just not coming up. So I think acknowledge that and try to get at the heart of why things aren't going well, and getting everything out into the open so that you can fully address it.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think it's the why and the what of why is it that you feel like this? Are you recognizing it? And asking kind of that key point of what's going on for you. Can you see this? Because sometimes it may not be a full awareness, or if it's a training point, because they're not fully trained up on how to do a specific procedure, they may really think that they're doing the right thing and not necessarily understand. Or, you know, for some neurodiversity points as well, it may just be actually the processes that they need to run through. And it then may be an understanding as to how to adapt them to fit back into actually what you need to run at the same time. So I think it's really appreciating your audience, as opposed to doing a one size fit of you need to do it this way, and that's the reason why. Cool, we need to get to the end, but we need to figure out how that works for you in between.
Excellent points. All right. So for possibly the hardest question, what do you do when you find yourself avoiding wanting to give feedback? Like, you know, you need to, how do you get yourself to get to that point? How do you manage yourself to get to the point where you're giving actual feedback when you need to?
I'll share. And it's around a specific example. In general, I prepare the same way, right? Try to take a consistent approach. But you're going to need to tailor things when they're difficult conversations, and especially when you've had them in the past. And you're going to need to spend a little bit more time. But in the instance that comes to mind, it was an employee that I had had numerous conversations with before. We tried a variety of different ways. Sometimes things would get a bit better, but we always ended up in the same place. And this employee was quite aggressive in past conversations, would not take ownership at all, and just wasn't improving after numerous occasions and putting it into performance reviews, and, you know, kind of hit a roadblock there. And so I decided that it was the time to put her on a corrective action plan, or somebody calls them a CAP or a PIP, a performance improvement plan. That is my last result. That is not where I want to go. But in this instance, nothing was working. And I would have to say I would get shaky and I was nervous because this person was so aggressive and so in my face that it was a really, really hard to have conversations. So I like the corrective action plans when you do have these really challenging situations, because it, you know, like I said, it's a last result, but it gives you this opportunity to very clearly lay out the issues. You're writing it out, right? Giving them really concrete examples that you've previously discussed, and it lays out what do we need them to do to improve and sustain their employment. And so I like it from the clarity perspective, but, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, it just takes that more serious approach for an employee to turn things around. I make sure I'm drafting them with a clear timeline and with success in mind. So every conversation, everything I do in written or oral, you know, conversation is focused on, I want them to succeed. This is a way to help them succeed. And I think that's the most important thing when you have these really challenging situations. I have seen employees flourish and rise to the occasion, successfully complete, move on, be rock stars. And then I've seen other people really shut down, right? And do a disservice to themselves by not being open to that feedback. In this instance, because of that past experience and the kind of, I don't want to say I was afraid, but to some extent I was a little bit, I had HR present in that conversation with me. And sometimes you just have to admit that you need help as a supervisor. And I did in this situation. And typically I don't want to bring HR into conversations if I don't have to, because I think it takes it to a different level. But in this instance, I was glad, because when we did get to the situation of walking through that, I do it in person because I, you know, I flew to the office location because I think I want respect and I want them to know that I respect them and their role. And so I want to be there. Sometimes you can't, but if you can be there in person, I highly recommend it. But in this instance, she continued to interrupt. She wouldn't let me get through the details. Very physically aggressive toward me in her looks and her actions, so much that HR actually called them out and said, you need to stop this behavior. You need to respect Janelle. You need to respect this process. So it was a really challenging conversation. But long story short, sometimes it's good to have HR there. Sometimes it's good to have that help, especially when you're feeling really uncomfortable about the situation. In this instance, I was happy I made that call. But I think what I want to end on, whether it's a corrective action plan or just, you know, really hard feedback, when it does hit, right? When it finally hits and you see them making improvements and you see them doing great things, call those out constantly, even overboard, right? Because it's hard for them to take that feedback in and you sit in it. And a lot of times they focus on just the negative and not the positive. So help them pull out of it when you see them doing things in a way where, hey, they've got this, they're moving forward, they're going to be successful in their role. Call it out. Positive feedback is just as important as constructive feedback, especially, like I said, when they're bouncing back from difficult feedback.
Yeah. And I think your point about articulating for yourself and for them what success looks like, you want them to succeed. I think leading with that, they know they can feel that. And that really changes the conversation as well. We are at time for today. I could talk about this all day. I love hearing all of your feedback. Thank you, Janelle, Amy, and Nikki, for your time and expertise today. We hope that the audience will soon view and enjoy. I look forward to reading some of the comments about this, because I think there's a lot of good that was shared here today. So thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.